Pastor Michael Eaton. I want to once again thank you for listening today. We want to encourage you to go out and pick up my book and workbook entitled The Secret to Your Best Life. You can pick it up at Amazon.com, The Secret to Your Best Life, the book and the workbook. If you'd like to save a little money, you can get both the book and workbook on Kindle. Again, it's entitled The Secret to Your Best Life, and you can pick it up at Amazon.com, or you can order it at any major bookstore. Pick up copies for yourself and send a copy to a family member or a friend. Thank you for listening, and may God bless you and keep you is my prayer.
Bethlehem, how are we going to share it? Amen. By living it and giving it. And we're going to start building on this church spiritually first. Amen. And we're going to go out and tell others about the love of Jesus Christ. Amen. Tonight, we continue in what we're calling Wednesday School. And we're teaching from the Sunday School Publishing Board's Faith Journey series. And Sister Eaton has wrote from that. Oh, I always forget. Let me go turn down this speaker. But I pray the children are doing well down there. Always forget to do this. Gail never reminds me. Amen. But yes, the Sunday School Publishing Board of National Baptist USA, Inc., Faith Journey Series for young adults. We're all going to play like we're young adults, all right? And we're going to go through this lesson tonight. Lesson is entitled, The Rewards of Patience. The Rewards of Patience. We're going to look at Habakkuk chapter 2, verses 1 through 5, chapter 3, verses 17 through 19. Let's read this out loud together at the same time on three. One, two, three.
I will stand at my watch and station myself on the ramparts. I will look to see what he will say to me and what answer I am to give to this complaint. Then the Lord replied, write down a revelation and make it plain on tablets so that an arrow may run with it. For the revelation waits on a time. It speaks of the end and will not prove false. Though it linger, wait for it. It will certainly come and will not delay. See, the enemy is puffed up. His desires are not upright. But the righteous person will live by his faithfulness. Indeed, mine betrays him. He is arrogant and never at rest. Because he is as greedy as his grave, and thy death is never satisfied. He gathers to himself all the nations and takes captives all the peoples. Though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fails, and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen, and no cattle in the stall, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior. The sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer, enables me to tread on the heights, for the refuges.
Amen. You may be seated. And again, that was Habakkuk chapter 2, verses 1 through 5, chapter 3, verses 17 through 19. And again, we're studying tonight the rewards of patience, the rewards of patience. And we're going to learn from Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 1 about the rest of the Lord. From Habakkuk chapter 2, verses 2 through 5, we're going to learn about the revelations from the Lord. In Habakkuk chapter 3, verses 17 through 19, we're going to learn to rejoice in the Lord. And we want Christians to know tonight that Christians should have joy in joyless times. Christians should have joy in joyless times. Let's watch this video and then we'll get into the Word.
Comfortable. rewarding.
Let's rewind.
Life is at times good, comfortable, rewarding. It's that feeling of being full. Things are going in the right direction. At other times, it's somewhat less than ideal. It's more like manageable or controllable, never more than satisfactory. The glass is half full or half empty, depending on how you look at it. Still, there are other times when life can be so dark, so brutal, so completely and totally empty that it seems that the glass has been drained entirely. We are dry and parched, existing in our emptiness, unsure of how to fill ourselves back up. Become broken and shattered, and we feel like nothing can put us back together. Yet it is here in our brokenness, in our desperation, that we cry out to God. It is here in our complete and hopeless emptiness that we discover the fullness that only comes from Jesus Christ.
Amen, and praise the Lord. I can't help but think in this text, we're at the bottom of that illustration in the text, because this is a time where the glass is empty, and that the people of God were about to be shattered. And of course, whenever we talk about these kind of times, it always deals with what the people of God are doing. In other words, they're living a sinful lifestyle. And whenever the people of God live a sinful lifestyle, the Lord will discipline. As we have seen in the last few weeks in the book of Jeremiah, we're now in the book of Habakkuk, and Habakkuk just has a problem, because we're dealing with the same enemy from a different vantage point. The Chaldeans or the Babylonians are about to come and destroy everything. And the prophet had a problem with this because the Babylonians were more evil than they were. Hello, somebody. And the prophet just had to wrestle with God as he was trying to get some understanding from this situation. And there may be somebody here tonight that's at a wrestling with God, trying to get some understanding from the situation. And you may not be like the people of God. You may be like the chosen men of God during that day and time, where they were serving the Lord and loving the Lord, but yet they had to live out the same consequences of the people that were living ungodly and unrighteously. And though they were protected, they still lived through such a time. So Habakkuk is the one that wrestles with God and really couldn't understand how God could use a more evil nation to come against, after all, the people of God. The people of God. And the first thing we learn in Habakkuk chapter 2 that we want to learn from this man's wrestling is We have to learn how to find rest in God, even in times of uncertainty. We've got to learn how to find rest in God in times of destruction, in times of turmoil, in times where there's trouble in your life, or trouble in your family. Oh, you've got to learn how to rest in the Lord. And you find out how to rest in the Lord. For verse chapter 2 verse 1 says, I will stand at my watch. Now I done prayed and I done talked to God. And because I done prayed and I done talked to God, I'm going to stand at my watch. And I'm going to station myself at what? At the ramparts. And what am I going to do? I'm going to look to see what he will say to me. And what answer I am to what? To give to this what? Complaint. Hello somebody. First of all, he says, I'm going to find rest in the Lord by praying. But not only am I going to pray, but I pray aggressively, because after I pray, I stand on top of the ramparts. I began to climb up and look to see, oh, where the answer of the Lord is coming from. Hello, somebody. Yeah. Is that somebody struggling?
Come on.
Is that somebody that, like this prophet, has been struggling back and forth, and you've been praying, and it seems like that you haven't got an answer? Oh, maybe the problem is not that you don't have an answer. Maybe the problem is that you're not looking in the right place. Hello, somebody. Maybe the problem is that you're not on the ramparts. You're not up and looking for God's answer. Hello, somebody. I like to say all the time that if you're praying for God to give you a job, you pray there in your prayer closet, but you don't just stay in the prayer closet. You pray and you get out of that prayer closet and you go to the ramparts and you go out and you fill out applications, because you're looking for the Lord to work. You go out and do what you need to do. Hello, somebody. Oh, to get an answer from the Lord. Hello, somebody. Some of us pray and we don't go look and see for the answer, which means that you really don't believe that God's going to take care of it. You just having a little talk. You talking to your friend. You think you talking to your mate. No, if you believe that God, that you're having a conversation with an almighty God, you get up off of your knees and you go look for the answer. You go look for the answers to your problems. You won't stay in the closet. You'll go to the ramparts. Yeah. Hello, somebody. And not only that, but this man had a complaint, against the Lord. He had a problem with the Lord, and even in his complaint, he still went up to the ramparts and looked for an answer from the Lord. Yeah. Hello, somebody. And that's how you rest in the Lord, because you're looking to the Lord. You're searching and seeking him out. You're doing what in New Testament terms it says ask. But if you look at it in the Greek, it really means to continue to ask, seek. In the Greek, it really means continue to seek and knock, which means to continue to knock. Hello, somebody. It's an active thing to seek the Lord. You just don't get lost in that prayer closet. You get out and get to the ramparts and say, Lord, I know you're God, and I'm looking to see you work. I'm looking to see you move. Hello, somebody. I can go home off the first point.
All right,
like, see you outside door and go home. That's enough for you to know.
All right.
Amen. Rest in the Lord, church. Hello, somebody. Don't get lost in the prayer closet. Hello, somebody. After you pray, get out of that prayer closet and go look, for answers from the Lord. Hello, somebody. I've heard Reverend Rushing say it all the time. What'd you say your grandpa said? Was it your grandpa said that?
Yes,
what did he say? Share it with us right quick.
Pray. After you pray, get to looking.
Amen.
Get excited.
After you pray, get to looking, and then what? Get excited. Hello, somebody. Hello, somebody. If you really believe that God was going to work and move, wouldn't you really get excited? Hello, somebody. You get excited. If you really believed Hello, somebody. Hello, somebody. This is what Sister Etime wrote in her Sunday school lesson. It says Habakkuk had his doubts about the Lord and the things that he had allowed the Chaldeans, and this is the Babylonians, to get away with. However, he did not turn his back against God. Hello, somebody. His faith remained intact. His faith remained intact. His faith remained intact. Regardless of what you're going through in your life, if it seems like the Lord is letting the Chaldeans or the Babylonians or your boss, your mate, your children, hello, some people in the town, get after you. Oh, guess what? You better keep your faith intact, and you better remain intact with the Lord. Amen. Somebody, he would just wait and see what the Lord had to say regarding his questions. Wait and see what the Lord had to say about your questions. Hello, somebody. As Christians, there will be times when we have questioned our faith due to the disappointments and the ways that our life is going. Our walk with the Lord will take us down roads of what? Trials and tribulations.
Right.
Hello, somebody. This is the difference between, oh, the regular TV preacher. And let me say this, because my wife brought this to my attention, and I want to address this in the church. It is not wrong to be on TV preaching the word of God. Okay? Okay? It's not wrong. What's wrong is, when I say TV preachers, I'm talking about preachers who are not preaching the word of God.
Right.
Hello, somebody. You can tell. Everything with Jesus, you can tell, because number one, they probably won't have a text. Hello, somebody. Or they'll start with the text and they'll end up babbling about something else. Everything but the text. Hello, somebody. They never teach the Bible.
Right.
Hello, somebody. So let me get that straight, just in case you think I'm talking about the venue of preaching. I'm not talking. I'm talking about folk who claim to be Christian. What is a Christian? What does Christian mean? Christ-like. It literally means what the preacher said, little Christ. So how can you say that you are a Christian or have a Christian broadcast and you don't mention Christ? Hello, somebody. It just can't be done. And you listen as some of these folk that are on the television, you don't hear nothing about Jesus.
Right.
Hello, somebody. You can't be in Bethlehem without hearing Jesus.
Right.
I talk about Jesus all the time. This is a Jesus place. Hello, somebody. We're trying to raise up Jesus people. Hello, somebody. We're trying to raise up disciples, learners of Christ who will live a life that literally, oh, you hear about all these other little folk in our culture. Lil Wayne, hello, somebody. Lil Zane, hello, somebody. Lil Kim, hello, somebody. I want us to be some little Christ's up in here. That's literally what Christian means. Hello, somebody. So don't think it's just TV. No, it's what you say and what you're preaching from. Most of them are called motivational preachers. That's all they're trying to make you feel good. Hello, somebody. And right now, in this text, God ain't trying to make them feel good.
That's right.
He's trying to make them be good. Hello, somebody. Let me say that again. Hello, somebody. God ain't concerned about you feeling good. He's concerned about you being good. And when you stop being good, you're going to run into some Babylonians in your life. When you stop being good, you're going to run into some Chaldeans in your life. When you stop being good, God's going to discipline you in the same way that your mama did, because she loves you. Hello, somebody. People just wonder why grandmama and them was so hard on people when they grew up. Well, grandmama knew that if she didn't do it, somebody else would. And back then, it meant you was hanging from a tree if you did something wrong. Hello, somebody. So they were real strict with their children.
But
they didn't want their children hanging on a tree somewhere because they had a sassy mouth. Hello, somebody. Hello, somebody. So they were hard. Hello, somebody. And if you love your children, you won't allow them to play out in the middle of the street.
Hello, somebody. If you love little Jacob, hello, somebody. Though Jacob's very, very rambunctious. You ain't going to let Jacob play in the middle of the street. Hello, somebody. Why? Because he can get hurt. Hello, somebody. Hello, somebody. Hello, somebody. So, God ain't concerned about you feeling good. He wants you to be good. Hello, somebody. Hello, somebody. Hello, somebody. Yeah, but this man of God didn't feel good in the text, but his faith still remained. Hello, somebody. And this is what he did. He cried out to the Lord, just like the psalmist did. The psalmist said, "In the morning, Lord, you hear my voice, and in the morning I lay my request before you, and what? Wait expectantly. I get upon the ramparts, and I expect God to tell me something. I expect God to move. I expect to hear from the Lord."
Yeah.
Hello, somebody. And that's why when I turn on a television or a radio station, I ain't trying to hear from what man said. Because man going to tell me, "Oh, the Lord said it's going to be all right. The Lord said he going to bless you. He going to bless you in the fields." And you hear songs about, "Open the floodgates of heaven and let it rain." But you don't explain, in order for those floodgates to be open, you got to be a child. Hello, somebody. So you got a generation of Christian folk saying, "Open the floodgates of heaven," with open hands, but they ain't got no open pockets. Bad theology will mess you up.
Yes, it will.
You want to be blessed?
Yeah.
You better just not sing about opening up the floodgates of heaven. You better learn how to tithe.
Yeah.
Hello, somebody. You can talk about it all the time and wave about it all the time. Hello, somebody. Have your hands up all the time, but good theology will say, "Hey, move back up in that verse in Malachi chapter 3. Start from the beginning."
Yeah,
hello,
yeah.
Somebody. Well, they pose the question, "Will a man rob God?"
Yeah.
A man will jack God up. Hello, somebody. While singing, "Open the floodgates of heaven."
Yeah. Every Sunday, really. Yeah.
Hello, somebody. Hello, somebody.
Robbing too much.
So, this man of God. He had a problem. He said, "God, I can't believe you're going to use these folk to discipline the people of God. I just cannot believe it. I got a problem with it, Lord." And the only way he got peace was he prayed to the Lord and he looked to the Lord for the answers.
Amen.
Hello, somebody. Sometimes we're too close to the problem and we can't see.
Come on. Amen.
The people of God have been sacrificing to idols. Hello, somebody. And some, if you read in the Old Testament, there was some, it was such, they got so bogged down that they were even offering their children up to be sacrificed to idols. Moloch is the god that they did, and Baal, I think, practiced that at times. So God couldn't, he couldn't deal with that. These are my people. These are not just any people. These are my people.
Yeah.
Some of y'all remember how Mama and them used to tell you about your name?
Yeah.
Hey, you got my last name. You represent me. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't want you going out there doing crazy stuff because you got my name.
Right.
And that's what God was saying. Hello, somebody. Hello, somebody.
Right.
Now y'all can stop me from preaching if y'all open up, okay? I didn't mean to preach tonight. But this is the question. Anybody can answer this. Feel free to jump in. Can you remember a situation where an injustice had occurred and consequences of it were not given? Did you question the Lord? Anybody? Can you remember a situation where an injustice occurred and consequences for it was not given? Did you question the Lord? Anybody? Y'all just must want me to preach there. You know how I'm going to preach. I know a lot of times the justice system many times cause our culture to cry out.
I think that latest one, well, that Stand Your Ground rule in Florida. Mm-hmm. What was the name of that kid? I forgot that kid's name. Trayvon Martin case.
Well, this guy, well, Trayvon, well, he had Skittles. He went to the store and bought some Skittles and I think a Pepsi or something like that. Was on his way home, and this guy that worked as security. He wasn't security. What was he? Neighborhood watch. That's right. Neighborhood watch. And anyway, to make a long story short, the boy died. And the whole nation outcried about that. That shouldn't have happened. The boy had, all he had on was a hoodie. Hello, somebody. And everybody was protesting the hoodie and wearing hoodies to protest. And marches were given. And we wanted justice to come to take place in the courts. Okay, surely a little boy, a little teenage boy, can go to the store and buy some Skittles and a hoodie and get a Coke and come home safely. Hello, somebody. But anyway, what happened? He died, but the guy was what? Let off. Hello, somebody. Did that make you angry? It made a whole lot of folk angry. If it didn't make you angry, it made a whole lot of folk angry. Can y'all remember? I remember one back in the, I guess it's early 80s. What is that man name that says? Rodney King. On the videotape. They show the police just going at him, just beating him on the videotape. They didn't show what happened before, that he was racing 100 miles an hour, all that, you know. So, but anyway, they caught him, and he was just getting whooped, just getting just beat, just like horribly. And folks saw that, and they said it wasn't right. It wasn't right. They was looking to the court system to get it right, to make it right. And what came back? Not one of them. Not guilty. And what did it cause? It caused a riot. Hello, somebody. So, yeah. So this happens all the time. But for Christians, we ain't supposed to be rioting. Hello, somebody. And the sad part about it, I hate to say this, but I might, y'all want me to go on and say it? I hate to say it. But if you're going to riot, don't riot in your own backyard.
So tell your own self about it.
Right.
Tell your own self about it.
I have one situation where I was, I felt like it was unjust, but when the Lord was speaking to me and telling me I was going to be a servant, and I ran from him. Mm-hmm. I had a motorcycle wreck out in Cayman. I was doing 95 miles an hour. Well, my brother and took
on purpose?
I was, we used to ride them fast motorcycles. Yeah, and stuff, yeah. And I was just racing. You know, me and a couple guys got crazy on it. But the motorcycle.
So where did the injustice come in?
Well, I had the wreck. Mm-hmm. My brother and took me to the hospital. Mm-hmm. I was at the hospital, and I ended up staying in the hospital 13 days, but the next day, the police came to the hospital and wrote me 5 tickets.
Oh, wow.
Well, yes, I was speeding. Yes, I was driving in a dangerous and reckless manner. I didn't have on a helmet. I didn't have an insurance card in my pocket. It was several tickets they gave me, but the injustice came about a year later. I was got off from Uniroyal that morning, and I was coming home, and I got stopped by a roadblock right after, get off the interstate coming in today. So you didn't have no way to turn around or go no other way. They had you. Uh-huh. Well, when they ran my license, they said I had a red flag. So instead of me going home, I went straight to jail.
Yeah.
I paid $800 to get out of jail.
Ooh.
They told me what the deal was. I went to Oklahoma City to the DMV that same morning. And they said, no, they shouldn't have, two or three of those chickens shouldn't have went against my license. Huh. So I didn't have a suspended license.
Well,
to go back to that court, and they gave me a paper to go back to that court in Davis. In Mary County, and get my money back. The suspended license money all should have been refunded.
Well,
I goes back to the court. And what the judge told me?
What?
Don't come back without a lawyer. The lawyer was going to cost me $750. I spent $880.
Oh, Lord.
I could go back, I'd get a lawyer, and maybe end up having to pay a court cost and all this other stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
And if they gave me back $880, I was going to lose $800.
Well, that's a pretty bad deal.
But the Lord said, son, don't worry.
So God tell you, don't worry.
When I was running from the Lord. But I had come to accept the Lord. I said, Lord, why? But I didn't get an answer. Don't worry about it.
He said, don't worry about it. That was your answer. Amen. Yeah, right. Thank you.
But I thought that was unjust. But
yeah. It was. They said it was. Amen. Reverend?
I had something like that. So, Melvin, I had a wreck. Went to, got a big ticket and everything. And had to go get a lawyer. And they wrote me a ticket for $150. Well, I had to pay the lawyer so much, and then the ticket was paid and everything. So I was at work, and 5 police come to home then.
Hoo-wee.
Big guys.
Huh.
Upstairs.
They ain't paying the little guys.
And they say, we got to go up to your arrest. And I'm like, what? And I didn't know what, and they said, we don't know, but okay, what we're going to do, we're going to walk you downstairs, and don't try to run. I said, 5 of y'all and 10 guns, so I didn't try to run. So I went to jail, and next day, went and talked to my lawyer, and asked him, how come I went to jail? He said, oh yeah, you're supposed to go to court, and I forgot to tell you.
Ooh, Lord. Oh, Lord.
That was it. That was it.
He's supposed to go to court.
Yeah,
and
that was it.
Yeah. You didn't lay hands on, bitch.
No, sir. I was in the system. I just turned around and walked out.
Yeah, that gets you. You missed some court days. Young people, don't
take them tickets lightly. You better pay your tickets, and if they give you a court date, you better be there, or they're going to put a warrant out for your arrest. Hello, somebody.
And the deal was, I paid it. The ticket had been paid.
That's what I was.
And I just said, I just had to go back to the court.
I lost $500.
He forgot.
I thought I paid.
Injustice. That's what y'all talking about.
And then I ended up spending
$880
more.
Injustice.
And the bad thing about it is when I went to jail, first person I saw somebody, and then they said, "Reverend Rose."
I'm sorry for you guys going through that. And there are a lot of people who will open up and will tell you stories like that about how injustice does happen. But in this case, what the prophet thought was injustice really was this.
It was because
of their disobedience. Right. But he still didn't understand. So this teaches us, when we don't understand what's going on in our lives, pray. Mm-hmm. Wrestle with God. And he'll give you the answers that you seek. Mm-hmm. Now, you may not like the answer that you get, but he will give you the answers that you seek. Amen?
Amen.
And let's move on to point number two as we continue in the rewards of patience. So the revelation from the Lord, and this is what I said, and where I said, God always gives you hope, even in the midst of your own mess ups. Hello, somebody. Even in the midst of when you failed and you failed God miserably, God always gives you hope. So you might be listening and say, well, I messed up and I deserve this. Hello, somebody. And God says, but you ain't messed up forever. Hello, somebody. And this is the revelation that God says. Then the Lord replied, write down the revelation and make it plain on tablets so that a hurler may run with it, for the revelation awaits an appointed time. It speaks
of the end and will not prove false. Though it lingers, wait for it. It will certainly come and will not delay. Hello, somebody. Sister Eton says the word of the Lord came to pass, but not at this time. Even though there was numerous injustice being committed by the Chaldeans and really the Babylonians, that's what they were known as, the people of God would have to wait by faith for God to intervene. The Lord had an appointed time to works to be revealed. This is the time for our faith muscles to be strengthened and built up. In other words, right when they was about this, you heard me say this lesson before, this probably lesson before that. Like right when they were about to go through bankruptcy, God says, I'm about to make you rich. Hello, somebody. You hear me say that all the time. Oh, right when you went in the tides of the divorce, God says, I'm about to give you love and family. God has a way of getting us right at when it seems like there's no hope, where it seems like the glass has shattered. And then God will give you a revelation of hope for the future. Hello, somebody. I like to say, just because it's bad now don't mean it's going to be bad 10 days from now.
Right, right.
Hello, somebody. This too will pass.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Especially if you learn the ability to confess your sins. Hello, somebody. To repent and do right before the Lord. Hello, somebody. You may have some consequences to pay for your sins. But God's going to see you through it. Hello, somebody. Your life don't have to be over. Hello, somebody. Some people get to a point where they just seem so hopeless, where they begin to try to take their own life with a gun or taking medicines. They get to that hopeless point where it feels like there's no hope. A Christian should never get to that point or stay there very long. Hello, somebody. Because you should get a word from the Lord like this that will come to you and say, hey, the vision is yet for the appointed time.
Yeah.
And though it tarries, wait for it. Hello, somebody. You're not going to always be where you are right now. You're not going to always be going through what you're going through right now. This is just a season. Hello, somebody. And your season for some is about to change. Hello, somebody. I said, for your season for some is about to change. You're in a season of struggling, and it seems like you're always broke, or you're in a season of sickness, and it seems like you're always in a hospital. Your marriage is in a season of arguing and fussing and fighting all the time. But God says, hello, somebody. Oh, that it's not going to always be like this. God says, oh, no, it tarries. Wait for it. Hello, somebody. There is hope in the Lord.
There is.
Say to your neighbor, neighbor,
neighbor.
Neighbor. There's hope in the Lord.
There's hope in the Lord.
I like what Ezekiel 12:25 says. But I, the Lord, will speak what I will, and it shall be what? Fulfilled what? Without delay. For in your days you were a rebellious people. I will fulfill whatever I say, declares the sovereign Lord. He says, I'm going to fulfill even though you've been rebellious. Hello, somebody. I've still got a plan for you. I still got hope for you. I still have a future for you. Even though you messed up. Hello, somebody. Oh, you might be in the midst of your mess right now. God tells you, repent and get out of that mess. Hello, somebody. Because I've got a future and hope for you. Hello, somebody. Hello, somebody. This encourages me, but don't encourage you. Hello, somebody. Hello, somebody. Now here, y'all can start talking where I won't have to preach again. God gives us what we need at his appointed time.
Yeah.
Are you content, or do you want more? Are you living by faith or your own will? Hello, somebody. That's the question. That last part. Are you living by faith or are you living by your own will?
Hello, somebody. Because if you live by faith, you sometimes your faith will hem you up at times.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. If you don't believe me, ask Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Hello, somebody. His faith hemmed him up. Hello, somebody. Ask Daniel. His faith hemmed him up. They said, bow down to this image, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. No, I believe in God and God alone. I'm not going to bow down. Hello, somebody. And guess what? I believe God can deliver me, even if he don't. Hello, somebody.
We're still not.
I'm not going to bow. Hello, somebody. Your faith will hem you up sometimes. Hello, somebody. Oh, Daniel. Oh, been looking at Daniel his whole life. Can't find nothing on the Daniel. I ain't got no dirt on Daniel. People don't like you when they don't have no dirt on you. If they have dirt on you, they can influence you to do the wrong thing. Hello, somebody. And Daniel, he couldn't find any dirt on Daniel. Hello, somebody. So, hey, we have to make up some dirt. We're going to make a rule up there. Oh, that you aren't supposed to pray. Hello, somebody. To the king. Hello, somebody. Oh, they passed that rule, and guess what? They had dirt on Daniel. Hello, somebody. Oh, and they were just looking. Said, Daniel, we're going to see if he believed now. Daniel. Oh, we're going to see. Oh, he's going to pray, but he's going to close the window this time. Daniel. Daniel did everything he normally would do. Hello, somebody. His faith hemmed him up. Hello, somebody. Ended up in the lion's den. Hello, somebody. Sometimes your faith will hem you up.
Yes, they thought they had.
Hello, they thought they had him, but then God showed up and showed out. Hello, somebody. So a lot of times it's not easy to live by faith. Hello, somebody. But if you depend upon God, get your peace from God, regardless of what's happening in your life. Get your peace from the Lord and live by his will and not your own.
That's it, man.
Hello, somebody. A married man living by faith will say, well, my woman, she don't cook for me no more. My woman, she don't do what we used to do when we first got married no more. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to put her down. I'm going to trade her in for a younger model. Hello, no, that ain't God. That ain't God. Hello, somebody. That's your own will. Hello, somebody. If she was living my home, we'd see the trade you in a long time ago. Hello, somebody. No, that's your own will. You don't live by your own will. God said, you got married. This is for a lifetime. Hello, somebody. This is not a trip. This is a journey. Hello, somebody. And if you're faithful, and they'll tell you, anybody in a real marriage will tell you, especially for you single folk who think it's just, ooh, la, 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 every day. Some days you love them. Some days. Y'all tell the truth. Some days.
Tell the truth,
tell somebody. But what keeps you together is your commitment before God.
Right.
Hello, somebody. Hello, somebody. You committed to the Lord. You're getting your joy from the Lord anyway. You don't need happiness. Hello, somebody. Ooh, somebody, get that on the way home. Hello, somebody. Hello, somebody. It's a preacher, you meddling. Preacher, you know I don't want to be single, Reverend. No. They say single folk want to be married, married folk want to be single. Hello, somebody. But anyway, maybe it's you. Hello, somebody. Hello, somebody. Maybe it's you. Stop living by your own will and begin to live by faith.
Amen.
Anybody want to comment on that?
Are you content or do you want more?
Whew. Are you content or do you want more? Hello, somebody. That's deep. That's deep. Are you content with what the Lord gave you? Woo, that's deep. That's deep. Are you content with what the Lord gave you? Or do you want more? They said a rich man was interviewed and they asked the rich man, what is, you seem like you have everything. What is it that you want? And he said, all I want is more. Wait a minute, you got everything you need, you got everything you want, but yet you still want more? That's called greed, church. Hello, somebody. Somebody who loves the Lord
don't have to be the richest person in town to feel like he is. Hello, yeah. Somebody. You hear me say this all the time. I'm the richest man in town. Now, Raymond, I'm the richest man in town. now, Dicker, I'm the richest man in the middle of Oklahoma.
You might.
And you say, Reverend, wait a minute, I done talked to your banker. He say you're not. Now, what I'm talking about is the contentment that God gives you.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Hello, somebody. It is just
once you get
marvelously revolutionary not to want more. Have you ever been like that? See, a lot of stuff that I get now is because my wife get it. And I probably should have, because before I met her, I just had a little flip phone. You know, I was content. I don't need no flip phone. I don't need nothing.
That's what I got, man.
That's some folk that wait online 24 hours to get the new iPhone. Hello, somebody. Hello, somebody. Because I'm content. I'm content. Contentment will revolutionize you. You can look at other folk and their new cars and say, oh, that's fine. You got new cars. You whisper, yeah, you got new bills. That's what you got. New bigger bills. Hello, somebody. So contentment in the Lord can be very rich. Hello, somebody. And we as Christians should learn how to be content. Hello, somebody. Okay, lastly, rejoice in the Lord. Habakkuk 3:17-19. This is deep, and this is really talking about contentment. This man said this. This blows my mind. He says, though the fig tree does not bud, and there be no grapes on the vines. Any of you ever heard me preach this text? Probably know about that fig tree in Crowville, Louisiana. I said, man, that fig tree was the center of life. It was a big old round, robust fig tree. It had figs, and it seemed like the birds hung out at the fig tree. And grandmama and them didn't want us to be at the fig tree because snakes hung around there too. Hello, somebody. So everybody was hanging out at the fig tree. Hello, somebody. When it was in bud. Hello, somebody. But it says this fig tree ain't budding no more. And there's no grapes on the vines. Though the olive crop fails and the field produce no food. Hello, somebody. Some of y'all are farmers and know really what they... I think we went in a drought. What was it, 2 or 3 years ago? You say we still in it? This sounds like a drought to me. Though there be no sheep in the pen, what? And no cattle in the stalls. Folk were selling off their cattle. It got so bad. They had to ship in some hay from, I think, Nebraska or somewhere. And hay was going for, how much was it about?
Over
$100 a bale when it was usually at what?
$30
or $25 a bale. Hello, somebody. They was in a drought. And this man, he says, after the no sheep and no cattle, he says, then he says...
And Pastor, can I say something about that?
Oh, go ahead.
No cattle in the stall. Most people don't understand what no cattle in the stall means.
Okay, tell us.
A cattle in the stall means a fatted cattle. Well, one that they're fattening to kill. To eat.
Oh, okay.
It's not just in the stall to be there.
Right. It's there
for a purpose.
Well, and ain't got no steaks in there.
He's saying, ain't no cattle ready to be killed.
Wow. Yeah. Wow, ain't no steaks going to happen here. No, it's about to break out the Roma noodles up here. Yeah. The spam in there. ain't no steakhouse. Hello, somebody. ain't no filet mignon. I told you my wife gave me a steak that was called filet mignon. Boy, that's the best steak I ever had. Melt in my mouth. Ain't none of that happening. And what did you say? Somebody was telling me about the fattest part of, was it the sheep or the goat?
it was called something that they look for, that they get.
Oh, it's on all of them. Cow, sheep. It's the
what is it called?
Backstrap.
The backstrap. Ain't no backstrap. The best.
The front end.
Oh, they was talking about the deer. Yeah, that backstrap on the deer. You know, say most of the time you don't. But that man, you tell them, we're talking about that. What do you think? They say ain't none of that, cause most of us don't have that, cause that's what they get first. Hello. Ain't none of that going on in the text. Hello, somebody.
Huh?
But it says, yet what?
I will rejoice in the Lord.
Wait a minute.
In the Lord.
I ain't got nothing to rejoice the Lord for.
Yeah, you
wait a minute. I ain't eating. Don't you know I'm a big old boy now? It takes some it takes some meat to make me. I know some of y'all ain't meat eaters. But for me, it's gonna take some meat to make me happy. You said you're taking me back to them days some of y'all used to talk about, right? And I really don't believe y'all. We just had mustard sandwiches. We didn't have no meat. Mustard sandwiches. Yeah, right.
With sandwiches. To be real, which is.
Can't y'all say? Oh, y'all know. We about to go to the olden days. Hello,
son. With sandwiches.
Sound like that was for real the way y'all talking. I thought y'all was just exaggerating.
With sandwiches.
I always at least had some bologna on my sandwiches. Wait a minute. He said, ain't no meat. Hello, somebody, to eat. But he says, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. Hello, somebody. And I will be joyful in God, my Savior. I will rejoice in the Lord. You ask, I always ask to people, you know. Now, y'all didn't really have no meat to go on the bread, mustard, and ketchup, and all that. Was y'all unhappy then?
People
had some
stuff. That was the best eating in the world. That was the best eating in the world. Some of us ain't believing it, but y'all go ahead. A lot of the guys who grew up, the ladies say they didn't even know they were poor. Wait a minute! You ain't got no meat on your sandwich, and you
didn't know. I ain't jelly, right?
Nobody else. So no, you didn't take this. When I was coming up, they didn't
even
go to town and buy bread.
No,
they
made excuses.
So y'all telling me y'all ain't had no light bread? I gotta get all the money. Ain't no busy birds.
Until you go to your friend's office, you
don't put
the meat on
their sandwich.
You're like, oh, this is
supposed to be the sandwich. You said, that's what this bread made for,
Miss
Bird made for. But it sounds like.
I gotta say, I don't know. They say that we ate, if we ate a mayonnaise sandwich because we wanted. I didn't know
he was rich.
Honestly,
I'm going back in the 50s.
Honestly, we had meat on the table every day.
Oh, look here. Yeah, he rich. Had, you go outside.
No, I'm just saying though, but I didn't know that.
You didn't know.
We worked on the farm. Uh-huh. And they killed
so
the
y'all had some of them fatty calves in the stalls.
And my grandma, my mother and him, and my uncles and aunts, they split everything. We had food in the house all the time. Yeah. Chickens on the yard, yeah. They killed chickens. I didn't know we was poor people.
Chicken homes
and cows. No, some of you were rich people, that's
why. We had it because that's what they had.
Because it was a farm,
yeah.
Man.
Because that's what we were doing. I didn't know that they were raising them cows and stuff to sell so that we could even have a pair of shoes.
Yeah, sound like y'all had this money. You calling y'allself poor? My mama and them used to be like that. They used to talk about y'all poor. I ran into some folk that grew up with my mama and them, and my mama and them friends said that they were the rich family because they had a car to drive to school back then. So So we didn't have no money. you had some meat for your bread.
But here it says, yet. Hello, somebody. Yet I rejoice in the Lord and be joyful in the Lord of my salvation. Wow. Maybe that's how grandmama now made it through back then. Hello, somebody. They had some of that yet rejoice. Hello, somebody. It says, the sovereign Lord is my what? Strength. And he makes my feet like the feet of a deer. What does that mean, some of y'all who do some deer hunting? What does that mean? The feet of a deer.
Light feet. You can't even tell they right there next to you.
Light feet. Is that true? You done did some deer hunting. They light feet. Anybody else?
You gotta be eyeing to see them. Wow. They'll walk right underneath you and you won't even know they're there.
Wow. Yeah. Wow.
And they fast.
That's
what he means.
Yeah. Wow.
The feet of a deer.
Wow.
A deer can be right here 1 second, and boy, you spook him for a second.
Take off.
He can be 20 yards over yonder. Just like that.
Wow.
Like a rabbit.
Wow. So I guess the prophet said, you know, I'm at this place, but you give me this deer feet, I can be in another place pretty quick. Hello, somebody. He enables me to tread on the heights. Hello, somebody. Hello, somebody. So this is the rewards of patience, is to, you got to depend upon God no matter what time of life that you're in. Hello, somebody. You could be in that state time of life. And for me, that's what it's like now. But during my younger years, and growing up trying to make it on my own, I was literally, at times, didn't know where my next meal was coming from. And I literally discovered why you had those dried beans in the cabinet.
Yes, sir. Because
I had never got, some of y'all cook it because y'all like butts. Boy, you cook them dry beans. Before, they were just decoration, but when it got hard times, I had to cook them dry beans. Hello, somebody.
Just wait till it got done.
But God delivered me through it all. And I look back, and it's like, man, I was in better shape back then. Hello, somebody. Hello, somebody. So
candy food. See, we grew the gardens and they canned the food, and I just don't know. But we asked them for a dollar to go to school with or something, and we couldn't get that because we didn't have. But I did. I mean, we had
food.
The Lord was the one taking care of you back then. Yeah. Hello, somebody.
If he can do it then,
guess what? He can do it now.
Same.
Hello, somebody. Let's go ahead and go to the Lord in prayer. I didn't even get to read this. Let me go ahead and read this part here, the yellow part. Let's read this together on three. 1, 2, 3.
Habakkuk remained faithful and rejoiced in knowing that God would work it all out.
Okay, let's start over again. 1, 2, 3.
Habakkuk remained faithful and rejoiced in knowing that God would work it all out. Christians will see the impending signs of
hard times. Rejoice and not despair, and this is a great time to increase our faith in God.
Amen. That's, y'all hear what Sister Eton wrote? Let me say that last line again. Last two. Christians will see the impending signs of hard times. Rejoice and not despair, as this is a great time to increase our faith in God. And 2 Corinthians 4 says that we are hard pressed on every side, but what? Not crushed. Perplexed, not in despair. Hello, somebody. So God is wanting to encourage you tonight to keep your faith, regardless of what you're going through. Because he hasn't forgotten you. He hasn't abandoned you. This is a period of season and time. And this time, if you're faithful to the Lord, will soon pass. Amen. Amen. All who's able to get on their knees, we're going to go ahead and enter into our time of prayer. Thank you for your participation tonight in the Word. I'm going to open us up, and then we're going to pause and give you a moment to intercede on behalf of yourselves, and then I'll close us in the end. Shall we pray? Father God, we come tonight, Lord, just want to thank you and to praise your holy name, Father.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Thank you, Father, thank you for your word, Father. For your word of hope tonight, Father.
Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
For Lord, some of us are listening and we've made some wrong and bad decisions, some wrong and bad choices, Lord. And like the people in the text, Lord, you're about to send the Babylonians or the Chaldeans, Father. And Father, I thank you, Lord, but that's not the end of the story, Father. For you tell us, Lord, that even though we're going through or we have to go through a bad time, you tell us, Lord, to write this vision of hope down, Father, for the vision is yet for the appointed time, Lord. You're telling us, Lord, to keep hope alive in the midst of a situation that is barren, Father. To keep hope alive, Father, in the midst of a situation that, that salvation may, take place. To keep hope, Father, in the midst of a time, Lord, where it seems like there's a drought in our life. And say, Lord, there'll be no rain, Father. Lord, you're telling us to keep hope, Father, in the midst of the black and white times in our lives, because color will soon come in Jesus' name. And Father, we pray, Lord, that you enable us to leave this place, having written down that vision upon our hearts, that vision of hope, that you're telling us, Lord, to keep hope alive. You're telling us, Lord, that this too shall pass. You're telling us, Lord, that you have not forsaken us or left us, Father. Leave us alone, Father, in Jesus' name. You're telling us, Lord, that, Father, that there will be me again, Father. You're telling us, Lord, that there will be fruit again in our lives, where it seems like we're unfruitful in this life, Father. You're telling us, Lord, to keep hope alive, to not listen to the voice of the devil that's trying to get us to quit. To quit on our faith. And some may be listening at the sound of my voice. The devil's trying to get us to quit on our lives. But the devil is alive, Father, in Jesus' name. We're going to keep hope alive. We're going to keep believing. We're going to keep having faith. We're going to keep knowing, Father, that we can muster up a mustard seed of faith. Lord, that we can speak to the mountains. Lord, that we face in our lifetime, Father, in Jesus' name. We're going to keep believing, Father, that the man on the side of the road, that heard Jesus was on his way. He called out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me, Father. Somebody heard you passing by tonight in your word, Father. They know that you're close, and they're crying out in their hearts, in their souls, in their minds, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me, Father. Your word tells us tonight the low things in our life can seem barren. Your word says, yet I will rejoice. And we come tonight, Father, wanting to rejoice by faith, knowing, Father, that we have the victory by faith. Wanting to rejoice and know, Father, that you love us. Wanting to rejoice and know, Father, that you're speaking peace right now in our hearts, in our minds, in our souls, in the life of our children, in our family life. Lord, that healing is flowing right now in our bodies, because we believe by faith. Lord, and we rejoice right now and believe by faith that you've already given us a victory, Father, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, Father, we thank you, Lord. Thank you for listening today, and we want to take this opportunity to describe the ABCs of salvation. The A of salvation is accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. The B of salvation is believe in your heart, and the sea of salvation is to confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you can do those three things today, then you can be saved. If you can believe that Jesus Christ is God's only Son, that he died for your sins and was buried and raised again on the third day, then today you can be saved. And you can pray a simple prayer of salvation and just ask God into your heart to accept, believe, and confess today, and you will be saved. You pray a prayer of salvation. We want you to become a part of a church home. If you're anywhere near Paul's Valley, Oklahoma, we want to see you at the Bethlehem Baptist Church. We want to thank you for listening. Bless you. Hello again. This is Pastor Michael Eaton. We want to once again thank you for listening today. We want to encourage you to go out and pick up my book and workbook entitled The Secret to Your Best Life. You can pick it up at Amazon.com, The Secret to Your Best Life, the book and the workbook. And if you'd like to save a little money, you can get both the book and workbook on Kindle. Again, it's entitled The Secret to Your Best Life, and you can pick it up at Amazon.com, or you can order it at any major bookstore. Pick up copies for yourself and send a copy to a family member or a friend. Thank you for listening, and may God bless you and keep you is my prayer.